Hey there, out there, you're listening to Super Toolshed, the only podcast where bad meets evil, but both are crippling antisocial aspies. I'm Bennett the Sage, I'm joined by Mark the Engineer, and today's subject is not about the new Wolverine flick, or as I call it, the Hugh Jackman hour, but about the new DC animated feature, The Flashpoint Paradox. But before that, the pleasantries. Mark, how have you been?
You know, you dare to ask that question when you follow me on Twitter.
What do you expect me to say? I gotta be polite about this. There is a show template that I must follow, Mark, and you're the only one who is not following protocol.
Alright, well, in exchange for the pleasantries, first thing is, right now what you're hearing is a music bed by Nick Vaughn, who tweets at us at random. Dude produces some good tunes, so check out the links just below this player, and you'll be able to listen to all of his wonderful chiptune music, which is a slightly different change-up from who we've been using, which is Sid Impure and Zero Reynolds, even though this show will probably still close out with Zero Reynolds, because we love him.
He is good to us.
He is. Whole big-ass library of music, completely free, except to you guys.
That's what we call connections, folks.
Marketing and networking. It's important.
Just ask Birdman Todd.
Yeah, okay. Pleasantries. What have I been doing? What have we been doing? Well, we got through the t-shirt sale, which right now, first of all, thanks everybody for buying Obey t-shirts. You are truly patriots of Benetopia. We're currently waiting for the printer to contact us and tell us that all the orders are done so that way we can actually put them in the mail. Which is always the hardest part. That was the hard part for the Toonami t-shirt sale. That was the hardest part for trying to wait for the 100% grade A voice monkey shirts for Bill and Greg's voiceover workshop. And now that's the hardest part for dealing with the Obey t-shirts, is just waiting for the printer to be done. However, considering the quality that they put out, I can wait. So can you. Beyond that, if you haven't been following me on Twitter, my car did not pass safety inspection. I spent 3 days in my driveway with a buddy, with what was supposed to be a short list of things to fix, and it turned into rebuilding my entire steering rack. So that's fun, but I won't bore you with car stuff. This isn't Top Gear. In a couple of days, Otakon. I am going to be at Otakon. Sadly, Bennett will not be with me.
I know. I cannot make the cross-country trip, not during this month of August, because this month I'm prepping for the recently announced Adult Swim Month on Anime Abandon. Yay!
Yes, if anyone hasn't noticed, Bennett's been working himself like a dog, which, for all intents and purposes, I've been trying to move the schedule around to make sure that he doesn't kill himself, because he's my meal ticket.
Oh, you're too kind. But yeah, I've had, the first video that I knew that August was going to be a killer month for me, and it's so far shaping up to be exactly like that, because I've been planning these top 20 lists for God knows how many months now. I started researching and writing these scripts back in February, I want to say, maybe late January. So these have been going on for about half a year now, and I figured that since Billboard was having its 55th anniversary for its top 100 list in August, I felt, why don't you release these in August? But then that coincided with Adult Swim Month in September, because if you know my modus operandi,
rewind it.
Okay.
When you came up with this, there was no schedule for Anime Abandon. That was the problem.
That was the problem, yeah.
We didn't come up with a schedule, like a proper schedule, until like 2 weeks after that, when it was, because before that it was just seat of the pants, whatever the hell you felt like. And then I just kind of said, well, why don't we have a schedule?
Well, now that we have a schedule in place for the foreseeable future, it does make planning much easier, especially for more, I want to say, ambitious episodes of Anime Abandon, because if you look at my earlier episodes, it was very much, like you said, fly to the seat of your pants, and you can really tell I never really moved from my seat. It was all pretty much stationary. But if you look at the episodes that have been coming out recently, they've been going outside of the comfort zone. And it's you have to plan for that in advance. You have to get people. If you're trying to make videos like that by yourself, you are barking up the wrong tree. You need to have somebody with you to help organize, to keep track of everything, and to make sure that if you're going for a long shot, and you have to separate yourself from the camera, that your camera is not going to, a sudden gust of wind is going to blow it over and ruin your shot. You need somebody to be mindful of the equipment.
Thanks, Gabe.
Thank you, Gabe. He is basically my roadie for all my outdoor shots. He was the one who was with me on that on the beach trip to get that beach shot for the I believe it was, it was the Virgin Fleet episode.
And then he was also manning the camera for the Ken Burns baseball moment in End of Ava, right?
Yes, he was. Although I'd like to think that that one shot of the far shot that zooms in on the baseball was I like to take credit for that, but really it was Gabe who was operating the camera. So, we'll go halfsies.
That always seems to be the case. It's like, yeah, I help write Anime Abandoned, and you're just kind of muttering like, not that much of Anime Abandoned. Like, we're going halfsies on this. It's my show. I brought all of you in. You'd all be nothing without me. All hail Sage. Sage is life.
King Kong ain't got shit on me.
And
on top of Adult Swim month in September, I'm also going to Alcon in Leicester, England. I'm returning. Yay! If you didn't catch the announcement on my YouTube page.
Yes. So you're going to be off doing things and having fun, and I'm going to be here minding the homestead and developing websites for people, and then there's going to be the occasional message that I'll get from the ether of like, Mark, this broke, fix it! Because that's just the way it goes.
Well, you're going to be having fun at Otakon, I hope.
Yeah, Otakon's going to be a good time because there's going to be a few people that I know there, up to and including Kyle Hebert. No. Anyway, but yeah, I'll get to see Kyle and Jesse and just a smattering of people from Anime Next, which is always awesome. It's cool to catch up with those cats. So the easiest way to catch up with me at Otakon is to just look for Kyle Hebert, and I'm the angry looking bloke right next to him in the Toonami T-shirt. Period. It's always the way it's worked.
Look for the only black guy.
Not true. Just
oh yeah, I forgot, it's Baltimore.
Yeah, it's Baltimore. There's plenty of black people there. Uh-huh, just keep on making friends, Bennett.
I'm just saying, it's Baltimore. It's not like there's no black people there.
See, one day there's going to be a Sage cosplayer, and I am going to snap and beat him to death. And he won't understand why it is that he's being beaten to death, but deep down, it'll be because you've broken me to the point where I just get the red mist whenever I see you. That's what it's going to come down to.
What happens if you meet an engineer cosplayer?
Equally dead.
Oh, come on. What if he's white?
equally dead.
Yes, no, more equally dead?
Seriously, here's my kind of thing. Like, I consider Dr. Insano to be a costume. You want to dress like fucking Noah in a lab coat with swirly glasses? Do that. Lewis isn't a costume. That's just how he dresses.
can attest to that. He doesn't. That's just how he rolls.
So, man. So when people are dressed up as Lewis, it's just kind of creepy. And you dress up as Bennett, and I'm just gonna have the red mist and kill you. And if you dress up as me, then you're just dressed how I dressed, and then I'm really going to have to beat you senseless and possibly take your clothes if you happen to have a T-shirt that I don't own. So, or if your goggles are better than mine, or if your boots are better than mine, then yeah, I'm probably just going to beat you senseless in the middle of the convention floor and take your shit.
Is that your black jean talking? You're going to steal some poor sod's shoes?
So long as they don't end up on a power line, it's fine.
I did meet one guy who was cosplaying me, but he was cosplaying me as Aslan from Suburban Nights. And that was, I'd consider that a cry for help.
See, that's why it is that, honestly, even though I really appreciate the fans that I have and I appreciate the people who follow me, like, I can't deal with fans. Like, I can't find myself being in the mentality where it's like I would dress as another human being that actually exists. And that just kind of brings me to the point where it's like, yes, I really appreciate you. We all really appreciate you. But there are cooler people than us to dress as. And that's even going so far as to say that, you know, like I always believe in the t-shirt that's not a billboard, you know, like we designed the Obey t-shirt to not say Anime Abandon on it, because we didn't want it to be a billboard t-shirt. It's not this huge billboard advertising t-shirt.
That's what the buttons are for.
No, well, those are small and subtle. You can't see those from half a mile away.
Yeah.
But I always believe that you buy subtle t-shirts that don't blare your fandom, because they're kind of like the secret handshake. You know, like once upon a time, not that many people, you know, walking around knew who the Green Lantern was, and fucking Justice League happened and everybody's like, I love the Green Lantern. Yeah, which one's your favorite? John Stewart. He's the only one, right? Fuck you.
Fuck you.
So I believe in, you know, the anti-billboard shirt because it's like the secret handshake. And I get that, you know, dressing up as a new media personality is kind of like the secret handshake. Like, hey, you watch the Spoonie Experiment. I watch it, too. You know, I watch Anime Abandon.
So, actually, I'm on a tangent here. What is your favorite Green Lantern?
I don't know. Probably Guy Gardner, because he'll make a construct of a baseball bat with barbed wire and hit you with it.
I can't help it. I got to go Hal Jordan. Even after the movie ruined it.
The movie didn't happen. The movie was just, hey, why don't we make a movie with a character named Hal Jordan, make him act like Kyle Rayner, and then make him suck through the whole thing.
Exactly. I was telling Mark, as we were talking about the new Injustice downloadable content, where you can be John Stewart, but just as a skin for Hal Jordan's Green Lantern in the game. And we were talking about how all these missed opportunities for having more Green Lanterns in the game, because, you know, like Hal Jordan is not the same as John Stewart as far as the constructs they build. So when you're seeing John Stewart, you know, bring out a Gatling gun, it just doesn't feel
right. Yeah, no, because Stewart is all blunt force trauma.
And so, like, we were talking about, like, if you want, like, all the Green Lanterns, and invariably Kyle Rayner came up, and I remember the line you said, it was like, but then they're missing Kyle Rayner, and I just cut him off, and I was like, nobody misses Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, but he's kind of required, but still, we came together on like, the Kilowog pack. Like, you need to have the Kilowog pack.
Look, I mean, like, there's not enough bruisers in the game. We need to have Kilowog just kind of come up with, like, a huge green brick wall and just smash, you know, motherfuckers over and over and over again. It's just, why not have Kilowog?
All right, so bringing the bicycle round the pike.
Before we do, I got one last thing. Did you hear Injustice released their newest DLC character?
Which is?
Zatanna.
See, all right, now, okay, just to shunt the last part of the conversation. Yes, dressing up as new media people is the secret handshake, but still, like, new media people are still just people. Don't dress as people, dress as characters. They're not really characters. Moving on. Mm-hmm. All right, Bennett and I had a conversation, like, I guess it was just yesterday, where we went so far as to say, like, there needs to be, like, the magic pack, the magic DLC, the Otherworld DLC, where it's Zatanna, Doc Fate, who else was it? Morgan Le Fay, Etrigan.
Yeah.
And now they whip out Zatanna, so it's like, maybe we're on our way.
It's like, I'll lay it on the line here. I want Dr. Fate in Injustice. Don't you?
I really could take him or leave him. I mean, he's just going to teleport and speak cryptically in the middle of a fight. I don't really care if he's there or not.
But I'm just saying, like, these abilities that these magic users have will invariably, like, impact gameplay in ways that I'm excited to see.
Yeah. Who else was in our dream Otherworld DLC list? It was Deadman, Inspector.
Deadman,
Specter, and Jonah Hex. That was it.
Jonah Hex, exactly.
With either Tom Jane or Adam Baldwin playing Jonah Hex.
Yeah. The problem was that we couldn't figure out any more villains that we want to see.
Gentleman Ghost.
Gentleman Ghost.
I didn't think of him at the time, but you know, you give me Gentleman Ghost, especially if he talks just like you just talked just now, like Casey Kasem. It's Casey Kasem doing a Don Adams impression.
Missed it by that much.
This synth metal knuckle sandwich goes out to you.
But I would really dig like an Otherworld characters pack. That would be the fucking boss right there. I would take that any day of the week. If only, even though Etrigan would get really annoying really fast, I'm sure.
Because of the rhyming.
Yeah. I mean, when he first shows up, he's always fucking cool. You know, gone, gone, the form of man, rise the demon Etrigan. But then as soon as he starts talking, you're like, all right, you know what? You just squandered your whole cool-ass transformation. And now you're just a fucking clown.
Well, maybe they could have like this sort of dynamic where you could be Etrigan. Like, you could switch between Etrigan and Jason Blood.
Yeah, but Blood... I don't know. I mean, if you really treated him like a dual stance character, and he's got a... Because that means that you would have to have Jason Blood, and then to change his stance, he would need a wind-up as long as the incantation, which that wind-up is, like, forever.
So that's why, like, he has, like, a knockback move where, you know, it stuns the opponent. So, like, gone, gone, form of man, take the form of Etrigan! Ah,
yeah. And then they get blown. Like, it's a blowback. It's a blowback with a wind-up.
Mm-hmm.
No, that makes sense, but it would still... It would grind fucking matches to a fucking halt, though.
Well, if it was a faster-paced fighter, like a Street Fighter, then yes, it would. But because every move is so deliberate...
Injustice is kind of fast, though.
It's kind of fast, but let's face facts. It's not as fast as Street Fighter.
No, it's not as fast as Street Fighter, but nothing's as fast as Street Fighter. Not even fucking Soul Calibur.
Not even fucking Marvel versus Capcom.
So, I would say that... Because just imagine that, because then, of course, all you're doing is you're taking Bruce Banner, and you're like, Bruce Banner, fight. And then you gotta work up the rage meter.
Oh, come on!
You
gotta
take
great.
Fucking hits all day long.
Bruce Banner's gonna choke a bitch.
Like, seriously, because that's what would happen. It would be like, you start the match as Banner, and then he just takes fucking shots... And then right as he's about to die, he hulks out if you can put in the right combination of buttons.
Quick time event, go!
But then, of course, there's the... Because actually, the mechanics for that would actually be pretty cool. Because you start out with Banner. And, let's see, you start with Banner. He takes the hits to 1/8 damage. And then he starts hulking out. So you've got all of 10 seconds while he has increased damage reduction to knock him the fuck out.
It's like, oh.
Elsewise, he's Hulk with a full fucking health bar.
you see, there is a bevy of options available here in Injustice, and that's why I think we love that game, and we can't stop talking about it.
Even though I already long since got rid of my copy, and I just keep bumming copies off friends.
Well, at least you're playing it.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of lost it for a while, because it's not like I have lots of people over to the house to play it and keep me interested, but I go over to other people's houses and they have it, and I'm like, yeah, let's run a couple rounds. So that's really the death of a fighting game. Like, if you don't have people over all the time and you're not really into fighting online, which I'm most certainly not, I'm the first person that's going to tell you, you know, online multiplayer is the most amazing fucking thing for the longevity of a game ever. But
except fighting games,
because there is no curve. It's either people who are day one or people who have like the most complicated fucking setup you've ever seen in terms of an arcade stick. They're playing 24 hours a day. They've got twitches like you've never fucking seen. You know, they have muscle memory in a way that you could hang them upside down in space and they could be gasping for air and still do the same fucking combo over and over again. And that's and there is no curve. It is one or the other and never in the middle. So that's why it is that I never like dealing with online gaming, with fighting games, because at least with my friends and people I know who's playing what by what margin. And it's not going to be, you know, the super pro margin where I'm just sitting there like, I'm not having fun.
And that's not even taking into account the rage quitters.
Yeah. Oof. Oh, God. Yeah, they'll just ruin your day. You spend 5 minutes in a lobby waiting for a fucking game to load, and then you land 10 successful hits on them, and they're like, nope, I quit!
Like, you little bitch! Yeah. Take your loss like a man!
Like, I'm glad that they track that stuff now. I really am. For the sake of the people who are still playing game, like fighting games online, like, I'm glad that they're tracking that shit. Because they will, because I cannot tell you how many matches in Halo have been ruined by the random rage quitter just unbalancing a team immediately. And it's like, oh my God, great. Now there's three of them and four of us, and they can hide more effectively because we can't spread out in a way that we can attract for three people as opposed to three people and one straggler. Like, that just annoys the piss out of me. So I'm glad that they track that shit now.
Well, it's not exactly the most seamless transition to today's topic, but in a roundabout way, it sort of connects. Well, let's start the story from the beginning. I get this, I was talking with Mark, what was it, a few days ago, and you brought up Flashpoint Paradox. And I was aware of it, but I'm not too keen about finding all the DC Animated Universe releases. It's just, I don't know why. I guess if it's... my mindset is, if it's not Bruce Timm directing, it's just I'm not very interested. And it's a very shitty attitude to adopt, I know, but when you grow up on Justice League, there's no comparison. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. You know, you get comfortable with Batman the Animated Series and Superman the Animated Series. And you know, you just kind of find your comfort zone. And then, of course, you know, they start talking about DC direct-to-DVD movies. And you're like, okay, that could be cool. And the first one's going to be Superman Doomsday. And it was shit. The only good thing about Superman Doomsday was a callback to An Evening with Kevin Smith. And that was it.
But then, you know, they came out with Batman Year One and Under the Red Hood, which, you know, it's Batman. It's hard to screw up Batman, especially animated Batman. Very easy to screw up animated Superman, as we all well know. But, you know, steadily, you know, on a steady diet of, what was it, two or three releases a year?
Yeah, somewhere in there. Plus, each one had the DC Showcase up to a point. Like, it seemed to be that the DC Showcase died when Dwayne McDuffie died. Like, that was when it was just gone. Like, the little short that they would throw in. Because they had the Green Arrow, Spectre, Jonah Hex, and I don't remember what the other one was. I guess technically Superman Shazam, The Return of Black Adam was one of the shorts. Mm. But after that, DC Showcase just dead.
And I guess I never was attached to that. Like, I could take or leave without the showcase, but again, that's with me and my ambivalent attitude towards the direct-to-DVD. But anyway, so Mark tells me about the Flashpoint Paradox, and he says, oh, just go get it. It's like $15 at Target. And unfortunately, there's no Target around here, so I had to get mine in an FYE. He's like, yeah, no Target, but an FYE. Can you believe that shit?
The penetration of trans world entertainment, always good to see.
Yeah, so I got the Blu-ray because it was actually fairly cheap. It was $17.99. It's like, oh, Blu-ray comes with a DVD.
Rip off.
So got the Blu-ray, watched it, and I watched it with my friend Gabe, who isn't too familiar with the DC universe, and like he knows Batman and Superman, and it's only by showing him Justice League does he know like the main seven, as it were. So, like, well, throughout the movie, I'm, like, just kind of educating him about, like, all the characters that he introduced, because the movie is very heavy, relies heavily on you being familiar with the universe. But he didn't even wind up caring, because it was such a brutal, it was easily the most brutal animated film I've seen all year. I mean, probably in the last 5 years. I mean, like, that's been newly released, not like just looking back on it.
Yeah,
like,
they really knocked the bottom out of this movie, honestly. Like, they're... Because it was recommended to me that I buy Flashpoint, because I'd forgotten about Flashpoint. I remember seeing the announcement. There was a lot of skepticism, like, why would you do Flashpoint? And I got a message in the middle of the night, like, if you haven't seen Flashpoint Paradox, you need to go out and buy it tomorrow. And while I was waiting for my front end to be aligned, I walked over to Target, bought it, because it was $14 at Target, so who cares. Came home, and I just had my mind erased by this movie.
To put it lightly?
There's been dark stuff in DC direct-to-DVD movies, okay? There have been dark moments in Justice League. There's been dark moments in Batman and Superman. But nothing like this.
And I think it's because they got away with it because of the alternate universe the plot was set in. But it did not, like, you know that because it's an alternate universe, like, these things that are happening don't really affect the main DC arc, as it were. But just because you know that doesn't make the things that happen any less, I want to say impactful. Because I don't want to say brutal, because that just brings to mind, like, you know, violence for the sake of violence kind of shit.
No, but you just don't see this movie coming at every turn. No. Like, especially if you haven't read Flashpoint, you just don't see this movie coming. And here's the point when it's like, okay, if you don't want it spoiled for you, then stop listening. But here's our open discussion of Flashpoint. The movie is based on the fact that Barry Allen is a whiny bitch.
Kind of is.
Which, all the more reason to bring Wally West back, period.
We're talking to the number one Wally West fanboy.
Well, I love The Flash. I've always loved The Flash, but I really love Wally. He's a goof, and I like that about him. You know, Barry is one of the originals. You know, he's one of the guys who have, you know, THE in front of his alias. So he's the Flash and the Batman and the Green Lantern. Can do no wrong. If killed, will be brought back, no questions asked, within 10 issues. You know, like, that's kind of what it is that kind of that makes me not like Hal Jordan. That's what it is that makes me not like Barry. Is, you know, like, Barry's dead. No, he's not. Barry's dead. No, he's not. He's in the future. Comes back. This happens. That happens. Barry's the only person that can outrun the Black Flash. Like, fucking, really? You know, like everybody else is outrunning the Black Flash by the skin of their fucking teeth. But Barry, no. He's fucking running backwards, giving the fucking Black Flash the finger. So this movie is based on the fact that Barry, you know, that Barry has a bitch moment where... He faces down the rogues, stops Zoom, and then Zoom's just like, it's a shame you're not fast enough to save everyone. and then like so much fucking Bella just runs into the night straight through the time barrier.
And of course, this starts a whole butterfly effect, a change where, you know, Barry Allen's mom is alive and well, but he's no longer the Flash, and the world's going to end because Wonder Woman and Aquaman are having a war.
And there is no Superman to balance it out, and
Bruce Wayne is dead, and
like this whole idea of this that not that the universe as we know it hinges on Barry, but that the saving the life of a single person could really ripple through the time stream in such a way that just like breaks its own adjustment. And it's like, oh yeah, so Bruce is dead. He's the one that got shot in the alley. Although, to speak on the whole, you know, Bruce Wayne catches it in this movie thing, I thought it was really fucked up that his mom becomes the Joker.
And I love the transitory period. Like, she, you're like...
Yeah, like, like that, like that's what it is, that a human just snaps like a Twix bar at the death of her son in the middle of Crime Alley.
You gotta give it to Thomas Wayne. He becomes Batman at 45 and then spends the next 20 years Batmaning.
Yeah, after, so he's after like, beating the ever-loving piss out of the dude, like, just punching, just seriously just, like, punching him until there is nothing left. Like, Hartigan in fucking Sin City punching the yellow bastard.
He's like, 8 fucking years!
So long, Junior.
Yeah, you know, like, it was, like, I thought that, because first off, I thought it was really interesting how subtle they were about the fact that Bruce's mom becomes the Joker. Because the first time you watch it, you're kind of like, no.
It's like,
I watched it twice that day just to be sure that that's how they were setting it up. And the only thing that really confirms it is the way that Thomas Wayne goes on about, you know, like you'll be surprised what kind of monsters this world can create.
And he looks at the Joker card, and bam!
And you're just like, wow, that's fucked.
I know. Actually, my favorite part, I want to cut through all these moments, and there's a ton of moments to talk about, because these, like, this movie is just filled with moments that if you're at all familiar with the DC universe, you're like, ah, fuck, shit. And but the one moment that I love the most is, okay, Barry Allen becomes aware of what he's done in the past, and now he's no longer the Flash anymore. So what does he do? He goes up to Thomas Wayne as Batman and says, I got to become the Flash again, but how are we going to do it? We're going to have to recreate the accident that turned me into the Flash. How are we going to do that? Let's strap you to an electric chair with a bunch of chemicals and just hope for the best. And it happens, and it fails, and he is like a burnt husk of a human being.
Yeah.
He's like, no, let's do it again.
Yeah, that was the real striker, because you were like, oh yeah, that's it. It's gonna be the Flash is back, the red suit and all, and then it's just, oh god, it hurts everywhere. Barry Allen, extra crispy. Barbecue, like, Allen.
It was like English patient shit right there.
And I applaud them for going for not pulling that punch. Because you hadn't read it, you don't fucking know what's gonna happen. And then you watch it happen, and you're just like,
Jesus. And then it happens again, but like the kind of, I felt they kind of bitched out a little bit by saying, oh no, now he's back to normal after he becomes the Flash. I thought for sure that they were going to keep him like a burnt, that he was going to be like Darkman underneath that Flash suit.
Yeah, I was thinking Darkman too, but I do, like, I knew that they couldn't hold on to it for too long, because I knew that they weren't going to go through the agony of having third-degree burns all over your body, where just Batman just has the magic cure-all. It's like, well, honestly, all of your nerve endings are screaming in pain right now. We could be electrocuting you at this very moment, and it wouldn't even equal how much pain you're in right now. But I've got this magical cure-all that's going to make you coherent, and you're going to be able to walk around.
I don't know. I actually wish they did go the Darkman route. Like, in order to save you, I had to separate your nerve endings from your spine. Now you can't feel anything. And then he goes back to his wife and like, you can't love me anymore because I'm hideous.
Mm. Yeah, but
tries to win her Yeah, tries to win her an elephant at the carnival. Turn the fucking elephant.
I did like how before the second time they try the experiment that Tom Wayne takes a swig out of the flask.
And I love this disparity between, like, if Thomas Wayne was Batman versus Bruce Wayne. Like, Thomas Wayne is such a fucking sellout, but he's still Batmaning.
Yeah, and he's got like the full on demon look. He kept the gun.
He just like shoots motherfuckers and
Just him nearly killing the Harley equivalent, Yo-Yo, mm-hmm. I thought was really cute. Like, wow. All right.
You actually never really see Martha Wayne as the Joker. You just see her, like, Bruce Wayne's blood on her face and her going, and so I gotta imagine that she must have, like, a male Harley Quinn.
I don't know. I don't think that that they would have gone that route. I mean, it's entirely possible, but you know, maybe, who knows. And I'm glad that they left that ambiguous, because whatever you think of is going to be a million times more horrible than what they could, you know, possibly put on screen for the chick Joker that happens to be Martha Wayne.
It happens to be Martha Wayne and, you know, teaming up with Poison Ivan.
Oh, God. You're going to hell just for saying that.
You're not a big fan of the Poison Ivy, are you?
No, I'm not. However, I will kind of appreciate Cyborg in this movie, even though it's not Kerry Payton. Cyborg once again is just kind of making the rounds, and it's cool that they're wheeling him out for just about everything they can possibly think of. I just thought it was kind of funny that he was like the president's extra special guy, and that they went so far as to make the president look like Obama.
For a while there, I thought Lex Luthor was going to be the president again, but no, actually Lex Luthor is just some government stooge.
Stooge voiced by Steve Blum for some reason.
And that was actually very distracting.
It was.
It's just like, what? Like,
I couldn't even thoroughly enjoy the fact that Ron Perlman put on the fucking orange and black again, because right next to him is fucking Steve Blum as Lex Luthor. And I'm like, Andrea, I know that you just discovered your brand new toy that the anime industry has been flogging for years, but he's not good for everything.
Just have him take a break every now and then. Have him voice a dog.
I'm not saying that, you know, Clancy Brown has to be Lex Luthor in all cases, nor am I saying that recasting Lex Luthor is a bad idea, even though, you know, James Marsters was a terrible fucking Lex Luthor. You know, red and green, the colors of Christmas. Fuck you. bad spike. But, you know, I am saying that, you know, there was something just wholesale distracting about Blum as Lex Luthor. And it gets worse because when you watch the making of featurette for the next movie, which is Justice League War, The Coming of Darkseid, they don't feature it. They don't make a big deal about it, but you can hear Darkseid talking. And it's Steve Blum, and I'm just like, fucking, really? I know. We're all, like, as actors, we're all just walking in, auditioning for whatever the fuck there is. And then, you know, if we get cast, cha-ching! But, I don't know, man. They're, like, I grew up with Michael Ironside being my dark side, which means that, vocally, what makes the most sense to me is, like, it's Ironside, then Perlman, then... I don't know who.
There is nobody else.
No, there's like other guys, like the guy who played Darkseid in Apocalypse. He was all right. Mm. He was okay. He wasn't great. Like, fuck, I'd even take Troy Baker.
And you hate that motherfucker.
I do not hate Troy Baker. Shut up.
It's like you're just jelly of him.
Because Troy Baker's too pretty. He just ruins the curve for all voice talent. You know, it's supposed to be you have a face for radio, not you have a face for GQ, and you can still do radio because you're really fucking good at it. It's not fair.
It's not fair. It's not fair. I'm sorry that God hates you, Mark, but don't hate on Troy Baker.
I'm not hating on Troy Baker. Troy Baker is fucking brilliant, and I do love him. Like, seriously. I would take him as, like, I'll play Arkham Origins and I'll be okay. but
you'll be okay with his Joker.
I'll be okay with his Joker. I've heard his Joker. It sounds all right. I mean, we're in a vacuum of Hamill at this point, so we got to choose somebody. Even though personally, I think that Paul Rubens could easily fucking take up the mantle and nobody would complain.
If Paul Rubens did it, I don't imagine I'll have much problem with it, but it would be, the Joker has to fit Paul Rubens. I mean, it can't be like the Joker that we got in, like, say, Under the Red Hood.
Well, no.
He can't be that Joker. But if he was like kind of like a
Joker. I think that Rubens is a good enough actor that he can make himself into the Joker, because if you watch Tron Uprising, he's fucking amazing. And it was watching that I realized it's like, man, if fucking old Uncle Mark wants to retire, fucking let him. Paul can do this shit in his sleep.
Well, like I said, like any actor worth his weight in salt can, you know, overcome any kind of role's limitations. But you have to admit that if you could tailor a role, or at least a kind of role, around the actor, then this just becomes that much more seamless as far as the performance is concerned.
Yeah, but that's not how the Joker works.
Well,
the Joker is, here's the Joker, make him sound good, and then you as an actor have to do your goddamnedest. So if you're Richard Epcar, it's like, you put that Bateau shit away.
Or if you're John DiMaggio, you're going to have to put that shit away. Actually, my one problem with John DiMaggio as the Joker was, I knew it was John DiMaggio.
Well,
like, yeah. As distracting as Steve Bloom was as Lex Luthor, John DiMaggio as the Joker was even more distracting.
It was right up until the end when, you know, it's like, I'm the only one who gets what he wants today! You know, that was actually kind of funny. And, you know, like when he shoots the guy, it's like, I'm going to need some guys. Not these guys. They're dead. I really enjoyed that. I enjoyed that DiMaggio had a lot of fun with the character. It's just that you can hear him, you know, like everybody has a voice print. Like, Hebert hates it when I bring this up. It's like, I'm sorry, Kyle, but to me, every role you do sounds like Gohan. And he fucking hates it when I tell him that.
He's like, fuck it, Mark!
First thing I told him when the first Street Fighter trailer came out, I was like, congratulations, Kyle, you finally got a really big-ass character since Gohan. It's a shame he sounds just like Gohan. Shut up! No, he doesn't! But that's just because, I don't know if it's the trained ear, I don't know if it's a nuts and bolts thing, but it's just, you know, everybody's got the voice print. And you can tell, you're right, you can tell that it's DiMaggio. So, but for Epcar just goes to someplace really fucking dark. And you can't hear him anymore. And that's what's kind of amazing about Epcar. But I still think that, you know, like before DiMaggio, before Epcar, Rubens is the new Joker, whether he knows it or not.
Like, and if some casting director has the fucking balls or the brains, whichever, to cast Mr. Troy Stevens himself as the Joker.
Why not?
Why not?
Why the hell not? So,
wait a minute. I'm sorry. Did I get the
Troy
role right?
Baker.
Choice? No. Like, Paul Rubens once upon a time hosted the You Don't Know Jack television show. And
You Don't Know Jack thing. Like, you are obsessed with this because all you want in life is to be on QI.
I do. I don't deny it.
I know, but it permeates you like Toonami and Top Gear permeate me.
Well, I'm beginning to have Top Gear permeate through me, but not for the same reason it permeates through you. I just love the physical shtick that the guys have, but I really do.
But getting back to where this jumped off from.
Yeah.
Ron Perlman put on the orange and black again, and I'm happy. Fucking Slade's back.
Even though he was in it for like one scene.
I know, but I was just like, is it? Oh my God, it is. I was so happy.
Well, you have him back. You have him back, but you have Ron Perlman back, but that's all you have him do?
Why not? You know, any shred of original Slade that I can get, I'll take. Same thing for Dana Delaney, who I don't care how much they use her, so long as they use her. I'm happy with that. And I thought it was really cute that that Sam Daly was Superman. I thought it was really cute. I'm looking at the credits like, Superman, Sam Daly. I'm like, ah, ha, 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 ha. Well played, Andrea, well played.
Well played. And you know what? Actually, while we're talking Superman, let's talk Superman in that film, because the reveal of Superman in this new universe is one of the more heartbreaking things you've ever seen in your life. Because it's Superman, but he's been locked.
E.T.
But he's been locked away for like all his life on a Red Sun simulator, which is actually kind of bullshit to me, because how the fuck do they know that the Red Sun is his weakness? Like, if they captured him at birth, Like, how do the fuck do they know, like, the red sun is this, like, one and only weakness?
Well, they probably, you know, because of fucking Star Labs, calculated the trajectory of the rocket or some such bullshit. They're it came from here, and there's a red sun there. So, obviously, a red sun environment will keep him contained behind these huge-ass doors.
Yeah, Star Labs, Cadmus, whatever. And, but you see him, and he has the hair, but his body...
Fucking.
He is this gaunt man, and it's just for all your life you have this image of Superman in your head. Even when Superman, through many of his variations, was a communist, or Superman was, say, when Superman was evil, he always had like this broad-shouldered, just physical build. But to see him reduced to like nothing but skin and sinew and bone
it's jarring, but then he starts talking and you're like, oh my god, he wants to phone home.
It's like, friend? It's like, no, what did they do to Superman?
I don't know, the whole Jesus thing right there at the end when he just kind of floats away.
Yeah, it's Jesus-y, but I think the movie earned it a little bit, considering how much he suffered.
Yeah, I guess. And then he comes back for the triumphant cut fucking Aquaman's arm off because that dude just can't keep his limbs.
It's all Star Wars up in this shit. Another holy shit moment. When Wonder Woman outright kills Steve Trevors.
Yeah, she kills Steve Trevor. And
Steve Trevor, sorry.
And she hangs him, but she hangs him in the way that, like, because there's two stages of hanging. There's asphyxiation, which is the slow death, which is what you don't want if you're ever hung. And then there's the original reason as to why it is that you drop the floor out from someone you're going to hang, which is that hopefully you just snap their fucking neck. And he got both.
Oh, God. Blood coming out of his mouth. And the way she did it, too, was like, shall I kill him, queen? No. A queen is a servant to her people. I will do it myself. And, like, at that moment, you might as well, like, no. Let him live. But she shall live as my personal pegging slave. Dress him up in a maid outfit. Cut off his balls.
Yeah, you almost for two whole seconds thought that she was going to, at the very least, keep him as a pet. And then
God, grind on his dead face, why don't you? Oof.
Jesus. Yeah, that was really somber. Like, that was sobering. Like, wow.
Like, if Warner Brothers Animation could get away with making a rated R Justice League film, like, that's what would have happened.
Yeah, and it was hard to watch, actually.
It was hard to watch.
Because you're aware of the relationship, and it would have been worse if it was Nathan Fillion as Steve Trevor, but they already cast him as Hal Jordan.
and Hal Jordan in this universe never becomes Green Lantern. And what does he do? He fucking, like Leroy Jenkins, the spaceship that brought over...
Became a conversation between me and my buddy Pete. Because he's a huge ass Lantern fan, and when they reveal that that Abin Sur's ring just flew the fuck off, he just kind of went, why? Because Hal Jordan is alive and well, and I realize through this conversation that it's because in this version of the universe, everybody has this terrible character flaw where they're just shitty. So Wonder Woman is shitty. Aquaman is shitty. Batman is extra shitty.
You can't get shittier than being dead.
Yeah. The two truest testaments to the fact that everybody in this world is shitty and non-pious and somehow broken in a core way that makes them significantly different from the primary world counterpart is that, one, Abin Sur's ring just fucked off. So that tells you that there's some, that Hal Jordan is just like a terrible fucking person, and that there's no one on earth that the ring chose is worthy. So that's one proof. But the other proof is that it took 5 fucking kids to make Captain Marvel. Batson by himself wasn't enough. That means that, like, Batson wasn't only just living in the halfway house. He was pimping. Like, he was fucking hookers. Like, what? What is this kid doing that Shazam is like, well, Batson, you're 1/5 enough to make my new champion.
So we'll get 4 other assholes. And that leads to another holy shit moment where Wonder Woman kills a motherfucking kid.
Yeah.
She kills Billy Batson. She
prison shivs Billy Batson.
I know.
Like, not stab, not slash, not snap. Grabs him with one hand, has in her other hand a broken sword, and just prison shivs him until he's dead off screen. And you can tell just by the way that she's positioned that it's a prison shiving. It, like, she just got straight fucking Oz on Billy Batson.
And here's another thing that, like, she's also, Wonder Woman's also wearing the, like, oh, I forgot, what's Aquaman's wife's name?
I don't even fucking remember.
I don't remember her name, but, like, Wonder Woman is wearing her crown because apparently she cheated on Aquaman in this alternate universe, and then his wife found out, and I never understood this mentality for somebody who's, for, like, cheaters. Like, why are you angry at the person who they cheated on you with? Why aren't you, like, taking out your anger on the person who cheated on you?
The psychology is that you, like, at first, you know, you're still in love with a person who has cheated on you, and then, of course, you're going to go and look for the thing that just broke up your harmony, and you're going to blame it, and then you're going to go back, and you're going to start fucking up shit in your relationship. So, of course, you know, the queen of Atlantis decides that she wants to deal with the queen of Themyscira, and it's like, yeah, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, like she has a broadsword, you have water.
Like, hydromancy doesn't really work against steel.
Unless, like, what you do is, like, if you could control water, I've never understood, like, if somebody could control water, why not, like, surround their head in water and just wait until the bubbles stop?
Well, they kind of dealt with that in Avatar. Because they had the bloodbending thing, which then became the major plot point of Legend of Korra.
Well, that's that. Well, that's not even the same con. Oh, I'm just saying in the DC
universe. Like, just saying, generally speaking, like, why would you not, like, if you are a hydromancer, why would you not just make a bubble of water, encase their head in it until the bubbles fucking stop and they fall dead? Which, I guess that could, like, that actually could work, but that doesn't make for a very, you know, dramatic setup. Unless, of course, you go for, like, the pulsing music, and the music is supposed to be representative of a heartbeat that's slowing down. So first there's the excitement, like, and then just
it just slowly dawns, like, there's no escape because you can't pull water off of your head.
Yeah, no. Unless you're Superman, then you just spin.
Just spin, or just, like, heat vision out, but then, like, you realize, oh no, I'm heating the water on my head, and now it's turned to steam.
Yeah, but Soup doesn't blink at that sort of shit.
No. If it's Superman, like, yeah. Speaking of another Superman moment, how about, like, at the very beginning of the movie, where in order to deal with the bomb, all he does is just clasps his hands around it. It's like, go ahead, I could take care of this. Go ahead. Poof!
Yeah, and he's like, waiting is the worst part. That is so low, Jack. I mean, that is really fucking low. Like, even Wonder Woman had a better solution, like Captain Cold, is like, freeze the shit off and throw it. But Which Superman is... still is just like, nah, I'm just going to hold this here. Strongest man on Earth.
Strongest man on Earth. Superman bomb disposal.
So, I mean, for all the moments, for all, like, especially since when you realize that, like, all the characters have these shitty character defects that you don't even get clued into, which is really sad, actually.
Yeah, I know.
But I think that the whole Captain, what is it, Captain Thunder, that's what they called him.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Miles. How you doing?
That's my cat. So, yeah, the whole Captain Thunder thing, which was just really like, okay, what is wrong with everybody on this planet in this continuity where they're talking like five kids to make Captain Thunder? Jordan's not a Green Lantern because he's just a shitty fucking person. You know, Wonder Woman is committing infidelity with Aquaman. Fucking Thomas Wayne is just killing people five at a clip. And that really, all of these small little character defects really hits home where you are, which is you are in hell. You are in the alternate 1985.
85?
You're not getting the joke, you idiot. The audience will get the joke. You're in the alternate 1985. It has been skewed into this tangent.
Wait a minute. Is this a Watchmen reference?
No. And dear God, you're gonna get nailed for this one.
I probably will. Like I'm thinking about it, like, wait a minute. Yeah, 1985 was the year that fucking like August 6th, 1985.
Wow. That is honestly going around the world just so that you can go to the corner store. That is kind of sad.
I know.
You dolt.
Okay. All right. Like, all right. I'm sorry if I don't immediately think of Back to the Future when in nerd references. I'm sorry. I went to Watchmen first. Jeez.
It's a sad, sad state. But yeah, it's that they really paint the picture that you are in hell. And this hell has only one answer, and that is to destroy itself. And it's all shouldered on Barry, who Barry is kind of shitty through this whole movie too.
Kind of is.
I mean, he's trying to be the good son, and I get that, but you know, he's got to have a sense of, you know, what the Speed Force is, what it does, what it can do for him, what it allows him to do. One of the first lines out of his mouth about fucking Zoom is that he has no imagination in using his powers. So clearly he's very in tune with, you know, like, they try and paint it like, oh, well, this whole time travel thing's kind of new to Barry, and he doesn't know. But I'm just like, come on, dude. I don't care how fucking distraught you are. I don't care. Like, you've got to have seen at least one episode of Doctor Who before you go running into the night, you know, with reckless abandon at 400 million miles an hour, busting through the Speed Force, looking at all these points in time and going, there, where my mom was killed. I'm going to stop that. And even Zoom hits him on it. Like, you didn't make sure that Hitler stayed in art school. You saved your mommy. And I was like, you know what? He's right. Because, you know, like, because Booster Gold just, like, relatively speaking, just went fucking through this. Where it's like, go ahead. Like, go ahead, try and undo this event. I fucking dare you. You know, like we need to teach you the rules. So go ahead and try and undo this event. Life will still find a way. And that was a really good, you know, like the time stream will still try to write itself. And if it can't, you're just going to fuck shit up royal. And I thought that was a really good lesson to teach to Booster Gold at one point. But, you know, like when Zoom's just like, you know, like you went to save your mommy. It's like, you know what, you're right. What person who's talking specifically about, it doesn't matter what world it is, we always save it because that's what we do, because we're heroes. Okay, so you had, what, a moral crisis where this dude fucking razzed you after you caught him and you just decided that the best thing to fucking do was do something that you thought was small, but it wasn't small, or it just happened to be so, like, just big enough that it could wreck everything. You know, like, we're not talking about an event that made it so that that guy's red shirt suddenly is blue. We're talking about you just made hell.
Yeah.
So,
aren't Barry, you proud of yourself?
Yeah, like, even Barry is shitty in this movie. Everybody is shitty in this movie, except for the Justice League.
Except for Cyborg.
And Cyborg, yeah, you're right. And Superman, but Superman because he's fucking ET.
Yeah. So, but to put a cap on this, the ending scene was definitely the one that I thought, how is this rated PG-13? where Zoom is just chiding, you know, Barry is just like, you are so screwed. While I'm here,
rebar in his fucking thigh.
Yep, he puts rebar in his fucking thigh, and he is just, you know, chiding him along. He's like, I'm siphoning the speed force while I'm here. You can't build up enough speed to escape this timeline. But, you know, I would rather die in this apocalyptic hell if it means I'm taking you down with me. And then as he says that, bam, Thomas Wayne just punches a hole right through his head.
Yeah, just
right between the eyes.
His fucking skull. And you can see his brain.
He has literally spat gum out through his forehead.
That is, like, the fact that you could see the texture of his brain through the hole, I just went, wow.
Wow.
And it was really kind of powerful to watch because, you know, fucking Aquaman sets off the bomb. and to watch Barry, like, limp his way away from the apocalypse, I thought that was really fucking cool. Like, that was really powerful visually. Watching him run through the Speed Force and he can see all these moments and shit, and then he, like, catches up with himself, who is very much doing the Bella thing. He's like, no, I'm doing what I want! Get away! It's like, dude, if you see yourself in the Speed Force, you know it's not a goddamn illusion. Why? Like, and that was what cemented it, that at the beginning of this movie, up until the very, very end, Barry was a shitty person in this movie. So, but then it all gets fucking reset, and they have a really touching moment at the end. It, like, probably, you know, the most tear-jerky moment I've seen in any DC movie. With beautiful fucking performance by Kevin Conroy delivering the simplest fucking words on earth.
Because I think it's the very first time I can, at least that I can remember, where Bruce Wayne just kind of, like, is choked up.
Just, like, yeah, like, the closest that he'll ever get to breaking down.
He gets a letter from his father.
Yeah. And that was really slick. I enjoyed that a lot. So, the question is Flashpoint worth the buy now that we've sat here and talked about it to anybody who, you know, still... Because... Personally, I think that you can't really spoil a film. You can tell what the events are, what the plot twists are, but really, you still need to experience a film. Is it worth your $14 to $17? Yes. Absolutely. Yes. The special features are pretty cool just because it talks about time traveling, Flash's end of the universe. It talks about Flash's Rose Gallery. It gives you a very nice look at Justice League War and what the cast is going to be, which... and what the setup is, which it's set up for the new 52, so take that or leave it as you please. It also, the Blu-ray comes with a shit ton of little extra things, Flash-based episodes, as they do with the Blu-rays now, you know, but they won't call them Bruce Timm's Top Picks because Bruce is long gone.
Don't want to conjure up old ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Old ghosts that are still, that, like, seriously, like, the fucking, the grass hasn't even grown on his grave yet. So, but yeah, it's worth it. Flashpoint's worth it. Would I recommend the next one just based on what it is? I wouldn't really say for sure. I wouldn't rule it out just because it's based on the new 52, even though a lot of people seem to have a problem with that left and right. My only problem with the new 52 is that everybody's really slutty.
I'm going to have to reserve my judgment until I see it. On the surface, I have nothing against the new 52 because I've always felt that the animated adventures, DC adventures, were always on separate from their kind of comic book counterparts. Excuse me. And I, for some reason, looking at a story in a comic book, I can't really connect with it like I can with motion and sound, like I can with, let's say, the DC animated universe. So I'll have to wait until I see it for me to actually give a yay or nay on it. But on the face of it, I'm not going to give it a I won't watch it. I'll give it a let's see.
All right, so let's tie that in a bow. I'm going to be at Otakon this weekend. Our new title card is done by Chris Zito. Please follow him at CZBacklash. Link below. Outro music by Zero Reynolds, as per usual, and intro music by Nick Vaughn, who info towards the bottom. So, Bennett, closing statements?
Closing statements? I think we kind of rounded the bases there for the most part, the credits. And I want to personally thank you all for leaving such kind compliments, as far as kind comments, rather, under my latest list video. Just so you know, for those of you who have been wondering, the best of list shall be coming not this coming week, but the week after. At least that's what I'm planning. It should be coming up pretty soon. But thanks for putting out your two cents here on the website. And even if you didn't agree with my placement or thought like there was some part of your heart that likes this song that I put on the list, like you were guilty pleasure, as it were, that's welcome too. It's a promoting discussion that I like to do with these list videos. That's why I like making them. I like seeing if you agree or disagree or why not. It's nothing can get a discussion going like a list video. But in any case, I want to thank you all for leaving comments, and I like to leave us out on the music. Take us away.